The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:10 PM. And you'll be joined by Ross Brierley, James Millman and Mark Slater in the studio. We have three meetings to look forward to on Sunday. Kelso and Wolverhampton domestically. And there's Irish racing from Navan as well. So three to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
I'm very well, Mark. Thank you.
Good. Glad to hear it. You've just done a two-day stint on William Hill Racing Radio. Anything caught your eye of late that you want to highlight on here?
Well, a lot depends on what happens on the Saturday, I suppose. Really. We're talking pre all the Saturday action at Kempton, Weatherby and Warwick, and we've got some Mathwater in racing there. Got some horses making their debuts, like Goodwood Mirage. Like to see where he goes, and we've got Willie Mullins, who's brought several over as well, just to dip his toe into the water, so to speak. Caparzo, Glenn's Melody, and of course Rathvinden as well. A lot will be more the wiser in around about 2 or 3 hours' time.
Yeah, nothing from Friday that particularly stood out to you then?
Not really, no.
No, okay.
it was just all weather, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was just all weather stuff and. The jump card, where was that at now? I can't remember. Was it Sedfield, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there was nothing there that caught the eye, I must admit.
Okay. Right, let's get stuck into Sunday's race. No, it's perfectly fine. If there's nothing there, there's nothing there.
No.
We're going to look at some racing at Kelso on this edition of the podcast, because obviously on Sunday we'll be getting Andy's thoughts on the card at Navan as well, so it's pointless having two previews with Andy's selections on for the
Makes
same
sense.
Meeting. But Kelso... decent jumps action to look forward to for a Sunday. It's not too bad a card.
Yeah, it's all right, actually. Mm-hmm. Quite a bit of quality on show, and mainly from the John Ferguson stable. I'm going to concentrate on the two divisions of the 2 mile maiden hurdle. First of all, Alim, who was second on his debut, made a promising start there, and then won quite readily last time out at Catterick, showing a good bit of quality in the latter stage of that race. Once he jumps two out and come back on the bridle, it was a matter of how far he was going to win. He beat Dart Doon from the Easterby camp, who subsequently went back to the same track and run a good race in defeat. So I think the form's pretty useful. And he doesn't appear to have too much to beat here under a penalty. There is one or two horses that run quite well up the north. The likes of Shaheen, Spitz and Tough Trade, who comes off the back of a win over Course and Distance last time out. But you'd be expecting John Ferguson's classy flat performer to be too quick for this lot here in the 220. And the same comments really apply for his...
12:20.
12:20, sorry, yes. Sorry. And you'd be expecting the same kind of performance from Certification in the second division as well, Mark, which comes in the last but one race, the 3:20. He was third on debut in what I think was quite a good race down in Newbury, behind a horse of Nicky Henderson's called Dawalan. And that horse had already had the previous experience of running over the track as well when he was fourth behind a horse called Capluto in what probably is the best juvenile hurdle run so far this season. We've already seen two winners out of that race, including the winner, obviously, Dalaran. And Certification went quite well through that race. He just lacked for a little bit of peak condition in the latter stages. Bound to have benefited from the run. And he could be quite an interesting contender for juvenile races throughout the rest of the season. Obviously, me having a vested interest in that division this season, owning Rutherglen, I'm keeping my eye on all juvenile horses with regards Fred Winter and the Triumph Hurdle, respectively. So a win from Certification might well put him in line for a tilt at the Fred Winter, which of course is the handicap version of the Triumph Hurdle. But he's up against Rock de Prance, an interesting run from Donald McCain's called Zitwire. He used to be with Edward Lynham. That horse was fourth on debut, but he didn't jump as well as Connections would have hoped. So he's going to have to brush up in that department. Lucinda Russell runs a point-to-point winner called Island Height, who could be anything. He won a point-to-point 91 days ago. Don't know much about him, but sure to be an interesting runner for the future. But hopefully Certification could complete the double on the card for Messrs Ferguson and O'Regan.
Okay, so that's ALIM in the 1220 and certification in the 320. Just to get sidetracked slightly here, you mentioned obviously Rutherglen in there. Tremendously exciting prospect, and the Cheltenham dream very much still alive. If you had a preference at the moment, would it be Triumph or would it be the Fred Winter?
Well, we want to run him in the race where we think we can win.
Yeah.
You know, we've bought him for Cheltenham to run in either race. The dream is obviously the Triumph Hurdle. You always think that way when you buy a juvenile. You know, you want to run him in the Grade One if you can, and be the best around. But realistically, buying a 75 rated horse off the flat when you're up against choicely bred horses that have raced in a higher quality race like Goodwood Mirage. I mean, he's a 100 rated horse who runs today as we speak at Sandown, and then you're up against Nichols's crop and William Mullins. He's got three or four that have already performed to a high level. Realistically, you're probably thinking, well, if we got to the Triumph unscathed and unbeaten, we'd probably be about a 14-16-1 chance. Yep. So albeit we'd have an outside chance, we'd still be probably 5th, 6th, 7th on the pecking order. Whereas if we get well handicapped, we might think about running in the Fred Winter, where we're running on a level playing field with horses who are not good enough to run in the Triumph, including ourselves, if we feel that way. And, you know, we'd probably be about 7 or 8 to 1, second or third favourite. Mm. We've already seen Force Family Fun, who's gone down a similar route to us, down the, you know, if you like, the handicapping route from three runs. And he obviously made a mockery of his mark of 113 at Donny. And it just shows you what John Quinn can do with these juveniles.
Yeah, it's very good.
There's always an amazing amount of improvement to come, even though they win small field races. And that's what we're hoping with Rutherglen. Albeit he's won three, he's still looked a little bit green in his victories. And we're hoping a strongly run race will bring the best out in him. I still don't think we've seen the best of him, even though he's done a little wrong.
Okay. Well, it's very exciting. I mean, if you to get into the winner's enclosure at Cheltenham.
Just to have a runner would be beyond all wildest dreams. And then to have one that is even thought of as a contender to win, or perhaps good enough to finish in the first four, would be a lifetime realisation come true for me.
Good. So we've covered two races at Kelso. To get back to the preview, Andy, what was the third one? Was it the
the second race, the 12:50, horse called See You at Midnight, who was a 40-1 chance on hurdling debut from the Sandy Thompson barn. Caused a bit of a shock and floored the favourite on that occasion, Regal Encore, who was run by Tony McCoy. Tony came in for some stick that day with the amount of rope that he gave the winner, and one or two race watchers felt as though he should have got a bit closer on the 5-1 on favourite, but that wasn't to be. And See You at Midnight, I thought, won on merit, and he won in a very fast time as well. I mean, obviously, Regal Encore aside, it was still a good performance anyway, because he beat the others who got decent form in the book. Ticking the Mick had already won well round the track the time before. Boy Ben had also won round the track before as well, so he's beaten two horses who got previous track form. He obviously runs on a different track today. He's up in trip, but he's a point-to-point winner, so you know, the fact that he managed to win round Hexham over 2 miles, albeit a stiff track, all goes well for his future claims. I think he'd probably be second favourite here as well, because you'd expect course and distance winner The Last Samurai to hold sway in the betting. He carries, of course, a double penalty for winning two races. And he's going to be very popular, of course, from an informed stable. But don't anyone disregard See You at Midnight. And if you do, you would do it at your peril.
Okay, See You at Midnight then. In the 12:50, and then just to recap, you went for the two John Ferguson horses, ALIM in the 12:20, and certification.
Yeah, they're not going to be great prices, but I mean, you stick them in a double, and perhaps you did the three in a combination, bets and doubles and trebles in. Hopefully, at least two of those three would win, and if we're feeling lucky and it goes our way, perhaps all three could oblige.
Okay, good stuff. We'll find out on Sunday, and we'll look forward to speaking to you for the Irish stuff as well.
We'll do, yeah. Navan looks a good competitive card. So, yeah, I'll get stuck into that overnight and in the morning, and see if we can piece together a few winners there.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Andy. Enjoy on Sunday.
Cheers, Mark. Will do.
So there you go, the thoughts of Andy Holding on Sunday's racing at Kelso. Then you'll hear the action from there and the rest of Sunday's racing as well on Racing Radio from 12:10 PM. Ross Briley, James Millman and Mark Slater will be the team in the studio. So make sure you tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Sunday's racing.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.